1 John chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 5. I know not everyone was able to be here last week, but we started the first part of this message, and now we're going to finish up this message this morning. I entitled this message, A Faith That Overcomes the World. And you notice on your screen it says growing up spiritually. So that's kind of the main theme we've been looking at, and how you and I, if we are a child of God, and we've talked a little bit about that last week, how that we might follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if we're born of God, that we will have genuine faith and that we will, you know, grow in grace as a result of that. So let me have you turn your attention to 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and follow along as I read. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, notice what he says, has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Let me ask you a question this morning for you to be thinking about this. How do you respond when you are unsure about something in your life? How do you respond? Like, you just don't know how something might turn out. You don't know if you can kind of put all your eggs in one basket on that particular thing in your life. Do you find yourself getting anxious? Have you ever found yourself becoming fearful or maybe getting angry about it? Maybe even depressed, or maybe you just get very indifferent about it because you are so frustrated. It's like, I wish I could know for sure if such and such is going to happen, or I can rest in this and have no doubts. All right, hey, I have some good news for you this morning, though. Because as we look at the Word of God and we look at what John writes for us this morning, we know this, that God's great salvation is definitely something that we can be sure about in our life. There's not anything we need to doubt about it. We can know without a doubt that we are in Christ, and we can know that we are secure in Him forever. And so last week we started looking at what it means to be an overcomer. Now when I say the word overcomer, we'll talk about later what that word means again, but when I say overcomer, one of the things I mentioned to you last week is the fact that an overcomer is a Christian. So when John uses this, he's speaking to Christians, and the word means then victor, winner, or to conquer. And so when John writes this and he tells us that really there are three indications, and we're going to look at all the last part of the first one from last week and the last two. When he writes this, he's given us three indications that we are an overcomer. In fact, John says in John chapter 5, verse 13, you can look right at it in your Bible. He says that he wrote this entire letter that we might believe in Jesus and that we might know that we have eternal life. In other words, we can be sure, folks, this morning, whether or not we are truly in the faith. We can be sure this morning if we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to wonder about that. We don't have to make any guesses about that. We can know, as I said just a moment ago, without any doubt whatsoever. So when we started looking at this last week, we looked at the first truth, which is this: an overcomer has genuine faith. We talked a lot about that. In fact, that's how come I had to split this message up, because there was so much that we needed to look at concerning that. But we found out that an overcomer does have genuine faith. In fact, John says those who are born of God believe and they follow Jesus. In other words, they obey. They follow after him. And so today what I want to do is I want to continue with this other characteristic of those who have been born of God, which is what John says, they have victory over the world. And then we're going to look at the last two indications of being an overcomer, marks or characteristics, whatever you want to call them, that an overcomer loves God and his children. And then lastly, an overcomer obeys the word of God. But let's start first of all, knowing that an overcomer follows the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have been born of God. John says they have victory over the world. Now you might be kind of sitting there this morning, scratching your head, and you're thinking, okay, what does that mean to have victory over the world? Well, John says in verses 4 and 5, he says, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And then he says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And the only one who overcomes the world is anyone who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So those three things right there tell us that those who are in the faith, those who are believers in Christ, they have overcome the world. You say, okay, Pastor, what do you mean by the word world? Now, I'm not trying to insult you this morning, but people have all kinds of ideas. Are we talking about, you know, when we look at the world, you mean like as a planet Earth? I mean, is that what we're talking about? That's not what we're talking about. But what we are talking about is this. It is that, and listen closely, that invisible spiritual system of evil that is opposed to God, which makes your obedience and my obedience to God very difficult at times. Let me say it one more time because I want you to really understand where we're going with this. It is that spiritual, invisible spiritual system of evil, check this out, that is opposed to God, which makes our obedience difficult. Notice what John says. The common denominator to all these three statements is that victory over this world has its origin in God, right? It is in God alone. For you and I to be victorious over the evil system of this world that stands opposed to God, it means that that origin is and lies, our foundation is in God himself. Because quite honestly, if it wasn't for the new life that God has planted in your heart and in my heart, if we are in Christ through the Spirit and through his word to embrace the gospel, there would be no possible victory for you and I. None. It's not like without Jesus you can overcome the world. You and I would not be able to overcome the evil system of this world without the gospel in our lives. It would be utterly impossible. In fact, we would do everything probably to kind of partner with the world because we would be outside of Christ. And so John does this. He says, there are attacks that come at us from the world without. In fact, 1 John 2:15 through 17, you can turn there, you can look at it, and look as I read and follow along. Listen to what he says. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, notice what he says, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but where is it from? It is from the world. He says the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So John makes it very clear. This is what makes up the world system we're talking about. The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life. He says, listen, these things are not from the Father, right? These things are from the world. Well, guess what? All those things are passing away. All those things will one day be gone and done with. But whoever does the will of God will abide forever. And so, how could any Christian resist these evils that we're talking about concerning the world and its evil system without new birth and without the truth of God's word within? The answer to that question is, we could not. We could not. But see, folks, it's only because of our relationship with Christ that the Bible makes it clear that we are no longer a part of this world system. If you have been saved, you are no longer a part of this evil world system. Amen? In fact, now that you are saved, you stand opposed. You and I both stand opposed to this evil world system. And so we're no longer a part of it, but what have we been rescued from? We've been rescued from its allurement. Listen to Colossians 1:13. Listen to what Jesus has done for us when he saved us. It says this, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now that's awesome because that's what he's done for us. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. You and I obviously did not do that, but Jesus did that for us. And so as a believer, we are overcomers then. And what John is saying, we are overcomers not in ourselves, right? We are overcomers not in our own power, but we are only overcomers by the power and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there are no evil forces that are able to overcome us or overpower us when our faith and our trust is in Jesus. You say, well, how do you know that? Because nothing, listen closely, nothing can ever separate us from him. Nothing can ever separate us from his love. And that's what the Bible says. Romans 8:38 and 39. For I am sure, Paul says. He says, remember we talked about this? You get a little frustrated sometimes when you're unsure about something or you don't know how something's going to turn out. And Paul says, I can tell you something I can be sure of. And he says that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to do what? Separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. So it reminds us of the fact that, yes, if we are in Christ, we are secure in Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. The world cannot overcome us as overcomers. And this is why, child of God, it is so important for us that as we hold dear to our faith, that our faith confesses that Jesus is the Son of God because it tells us who we believe in and where our faith rests. It's like this. It's like if someone came up to you, okay, hey, listen, I noticed that you say you're a Christian, and I want to know then, you say you talk about faith, what does your faith rest in? Well, my faith rests in what? It rests in the Lord Jesus Christ. It rests in what he's done for me. See, it's not like this morning, I want to encourage you with this because sometimes I think we think this is not reserved for some superior or super Christian. This is reserved for all those who are in Christ. It is not reserved for something, for someone, I should say, that is going to do something great for God. It's not like there's categories in our Christianity like, okay, well, hey, I'm super Christian, right? So this is just for me. I can overcome the world because of what Jesus has done for me. No. It is for all of those who remain faithful to the truth of Jesus Christ, and they continue to remain loyal to him in service. See, folks, and I think we all know this already, without our faith resting on the rock, and who is the rock? The Lord Jesus Christ. Where do we find ourselves? We find ourselves on sinking sand, don't we? We find ourselves being on a shaky foundation if we are not standing on the truth and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So see, I say all this to you this morning because our victory is linked and our victory is protected by our confession that Jesus is the Son of God. And I say, praise the Lord, because he's always faithful. Even when you and I are not, God is always faithful to us. And that faithfulness is embodied in grace. That faithfulness never wavers and will always remain unshakable for all those who belong to him. See, we can rest in that this morning, can't we? We can rest in the fact that what the Bible says, that overcomers will overcome the world because it's not in and of us, as I said, but it rests on the person and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why you and I are overcomers of this world. So not only do we see that, but we see also, let's move on to our second point, another indication of being an overcomer, of having genuine faith, and that is this: an overcomer loves God, check this out, loves God and loves his children. You say, Pastor, I mean, I love God, I'm not so sure about his children sometimes. I kind of said this tongue-in-cheek last week, but you might sit here this morning and say, well, yeah, I know my brothers and sisters in Christ, I love them, but some of them I just don't like. Listen, I want you to know this. This is so important, and this point is not even that long of a point this morning, but I want you to know this very, very, and understand this very closely. When you look at 1 John 5:1, the last part of that verse, first part of verse number 2, look what it says, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. It is impossible for you and I to love the children of God without loving God. It is impossible also to love God without loving his children. 1 John 4, right there by where you are now, verse 20 and 21, if anyone says, I love God, look what he says, and hates his brother or hates his sister, he is a liar. That's strong, isn't it? For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen, and this is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother and sister. Amen? Yes. See, it's not like one day you can wake up on a Sunday morning and you can say to yourself, okay, I got this group of people and I only come to church and I'm only going to love on them. Is that right? Is that what John's saying? Like we get to pick and choose, you know, those who we like more than others and those who we choose to love and those whom we choose not to love? Absolutely not. If we love God, we come when we're with our brothers and sisters in Christ and we love them too. It means, folks, and I think all of us would do well to kind of always keep this in mind. It means we are family. Right? We are family. And what are families to do? Families are to love one another, especially the family of God. I understand families sometimes have conflict, right? Sometimes not everything is always peachy and rosy within the family. Sometimes families can struggle, but we are to still love one another. We are still, as God's children, to make sure that we are doing that in a way that glorifies God. Listen, one commentator said it this way. He said the logic would go like this. Everyone who loves the parent loves the child, and every Christian who is a child of God, therefore, when we love God, we love our fellow Christians. Again, it's not an option, right? Because we are born of God, it means we are to be born, or we are born into the family of God. And because we are born into the family of God, we have certain obligations and we have responsibilities toward not only the Father, the God in heaven, but also to his children. To everyone that we know as our brother and sister in Christ, we still have responsibility and we still have obligation toward them. And quite honestly, we need each other to do that. And to do that well for his glory. Love, then, is an obligation that we have when we become God's child. Listen, here's sometimes where we get a little messed up. We think to ourselves, okay, well, that love you're talking about, is that like some, not saying that emotions can't be involved in that, I'm not going to say that, but is it some emotional experience that I'm to have in my life? Well, you might have some emotion, obviously, right? There's emotion to any kind of love. But really, when we're considering this and we're talking about this, it is really a selfless, active commitment that we share with one another, that we are committed to one another. So what I mean by that is this, and I think what John would say as well is this, you know, I may not always feel very loving on a Sunday morning. Sometimes I don't either. But see, when we love, it is a selfless commitment that we make to our brothers and sisters in Christ. In other words, just because you don't feel loving at a particular time with your brothers and sisters in Christ does not mean you have an excuse not to love them and serve them and pray for them and be committed to them. You don't have that option. Most importantly, it means by which we please and honor God, right? With this obedience. So there's a bigger picture. It's not only about loving one another, but as we do love one another, we are pleasing, glorifying the Lord. I love 1 Corinthians 13. Many of you know it, the great chapter on love, verses 4 through 7. Listen to what love is. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Oh, here's a good one. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. And here you go, verse number 7. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So when we're talking about our love for one another as God's children, this is exactly what we are talking about when it comes to that brother and sisterly love. Those who are born of God love like this. So because an overcomer loves, then, it results in obedience. And that is the last mark of identifying an overcomer. An overcomer then obeys God's word. Look at the last part of verse number 2 and verse number 3. Check it out. When we love God and obey his commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Now, I think there are really two answers to this question. Why does an overcomer or a Christian obey the word of God? You ever thought about that? I mean, you're here today, so obviously you recognize that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, that we ought to be in church and we ought to attend church as faithfully as we possibly can, and that I think is clear. But why did you come to church this morning? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? Why do you love your brother and sister in Christ? Why do you stay away from the temptations of this world that would take you down a path that we would be contrary to the Lord? Why do we obey the word of God? Answer number one, because we love God. Because we love him. See, John taught God's love is being perfected in our lives when we keep the word of God. Every time we obey the Lord was doing what? He's growing us and he's perfecting love within us. And so the test of knowing and loving God, as John said, is obeying his commands. Now you see in verse number 2 that word obey, right? You see it there? And then in verse number 3 you see the word keep. Two different words. Number one, obey, is a present tense, which means to accomplish or to practice, and it's in continuous action. So I am practicing and accomplishing my obedience. In fact, we could just say it this way. It's more about direction rather than perfection, right? Because there isn't anybody in this room this morning, including myself, would say, well, I perfectly obey the word of God every day. Wow. Okay. So it's about direction. It's about being our heart's desire. That's what we're striving to do. We want to obey God. We want to please him with our life. And then verse number 3, we see this word keep. And you might say, well, that isn't that the same thing? Well, no, not exactly, because that word means to keep watch over, or in other words, guard or preserve. So we got this word obey in verse number 2, which means to practice or accomplish. And then we have this word keep in verse number 3, which means we are to watch it, watch over it, we are to guard it, and we are to preserve it in our lives. It's important because it's not only a matter of you and I directly obeying the word of God, but notice this, it is also a heart attitude that prompts this obedience. See, if we love the Lord, we will view then the Lord's commands as a precious treasure. Let me say that again. If we love the Lord, we will view the Lord's commands as a precious treasure that then, as what John is saying with this word keep, that needs to be guarded and needs to be followed at all costs. It's not out of drudgery. It's not like, throwing up your arms and saying, okay, I'm going to obey God then. No, it's a hard attitude. It's a hard attitude that says, you know what? I obey God because I love God and I treasure these commands. They are that important. They're so important to me that I want to do what God calls me to do. See, there are examples in scriptures of this that teach us an exact principle that loving the Lord means you will obey Him. Listen to what God commands Israel through Jeremiah. But this I command you, obey my voice. I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. Jesus taught the same thing. He taught his disciples in the upper room in John 14, 15. Here it is again. This sounds familiar. Where do you think John got it from? If you love me, you will keep my commands. John's been with Jesus for 3 years. He had traveled with him underneath his ministry. He learned something, didn't he? Your love for the Lord is not expressed in sentimentalism with some emotional, mushy experience. If you're looking for that, you're not looking in the right place. Because that kind of experience, folks, is never going to last. If you're looking like, okay, I'm going to come to church today because I want a spiritual high. And yes, don't misunderstand. There is emotions involved. I get that. But if you're looking just for like some shot in the arm, some spiritual high, you're not looking at it rightly. But see, it is your obedience, rather, that treasures these commands, and you treasure them above everything else in your life. That's a number one priority. That's what you want to do. I want to follow Jesus because Jesus tells me if I love Him, I will keep His commands. It is this loving obedience from the heart, which, by the way, the heart is the seat of our emotions, the seat of our will, and the seat of our intellect. It is this willingness, it is this committedness to following Jesus Christ at all costs. Why? Because you love Him that much and you treasure what He says. What's the other reason? We obey not only because of this love, but also we obey because His commands, He tells us, are not burdensome. Man, I love this. It does not mean, and I hope you don't, I don't want you to walk out of here this morning thinking this, it does not mean that complete obedience to all God's commands are easy. Do you find all of them easy? I don't. Sometimes it's hard. But yet also, when we look at this word overcomer, again, what does it mean? Think about this for a minute. It means victor. It means conqueror or winner. Well, then that then tells us that there's this obvious battle that you and I face daily against our flesh to obey God. And we know that the struggle, if I could say it this way, is real. It's a real thing. You say, well, Pastor, I love the Lord. I mean, I do treasure His commands, but sometimes I always don't obey Him. Oh, I get that. Trust me, I get it. I don't always do what he wants me to do. But I don't want you to miss the point here. Because I think what John has in mind is this contrast that Jesus made between the commands of people, or if I could say it this way, man-made rules, thinking of the scribes and the Pharisees who did just that, heavy burdens versus not being burdensome. Listen to what Jesus says. Matthew 23, 4, talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. He says it so clear. Listen to this. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. What's Jesus saying? He's saying this. Their man-made rules, their extra biblical requirements are hard to bear. They're burdensome. And then now you got Jesus, and then we got John saying just the opposite, that his commands are easy compared to the horrible regulations of the Pharisees. Listen to what he says in Matthew 11:30. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, isn't that interesting? He's calling out the scribes. He's calling out the Pharisees. He's saying, listen, their man-made rules, they're heavy burdens. They're hard to bear. But opposite of that, with me, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I've always kind of been a little bewildered about this. But I think it helps us to see this in light of what John is saying. The problem was, and what Jesus was teaching, that the Pharisees had created all these minute regulations that they added to the law that they themselves were not even willing to obey. Not what the law says, not what the Bible teaches, but extra and beyond. They were not life-giving because they're not from God. They're man-made rules. Yes, they are hard to bear. Think of it in this way. There are some churches today, still today, there are some believers that want to enforce upon us legalistic requirements that bind your conscience and my conscience at times, that teaches to follow their man-made extra-biblical rules in order that you and I might be more holy and pleasing to God. I say no. I grew up like that. I know what legalism is all about. And I know the burden, and that's why I said it's heavy to bear. Because it's unsatisfying, it sometimes becomes frustrating, it sometimes almost drives you to anger because you think to yourself, well, I don't even understand the biblical principle behind what they're telling me that I should be or do in order to be more like Jesus. It doesn't make sense because it's not even in the Bible. You ever been there? It is a modern-day Phariseeism. You say, well, Pastor, does that really exist out there? Yeah, it does. And I say this, it's a modern-day Phariseeism that only results in this, like, robotic Christianity rather than a heart that is moved by God to obey him, because the motivating factor is because, man, I love Jesus and I want to please him. It is the difference between the rules of people versus a relationship with God that is full of grace. That's why I think Jesus says, and I think that's why John says, the Lord's commands are not burdensome like that. Because of where part of it is, because of where they leave you. In my opinion, they leave your soul cold. They can leave you frustrated, and as I said, they leave you very unsatisfied. Why? Because it's all about the external and has nothing to do with the heart. It's all about you and I looking right. It's all about you and I portraying the right image. It's all about you and I doing what they think is right, what they think or call is biblical, and it is not. It's not even in the Word of God. And before long, you and I are walking around like this. I can't do this stuff, man. This is crazy. Because it's all about following man. It's all about doing what they expect you to do. Man's rules are always going to be burdensome to follow, heavy to bear, and they're always going to be spiritually dry. It is only the life of God. Listen, it is only the life of God, it is only the life-giving words of God within your heart and my heart that makes the obedience to His commands possible, because we want to please Him and glorify Him in everything that we do. I would much rather be motivated by the love for God, as the Bible says I ought to be, rather than someone who's putting a guilt trip on me because I'm not meeting their standards. You with me? There's a huge difference. And it's not biblical. It is these life-giving words of God, because we know where they lead us. They lead us to joy. They lead us to where we know that we're doing these things, we're obeying the Lord. This is what thus says the Lord. There's peace. There's comfort. There's relief. Because why? His yoke becomes gentle. The burden becomes light. It is because you and I have this yearning and this desire for the things of the Lord. So our joy comes, listen folks, our joy comes when we seek and we hunger after His righteousness, and then we live in that love of His. That's where the joy comes from. That's why you can say the burdens or the commands of the Lord are light. They're not burdensome. William Barclay, I put this in your notes on the YouVersion app on underneath the service today. William Barclay, who's a commentator, wrote this. He said, and I think he just nails it here, and we're going to close in just a second. He nails it, and he says this: difficult the commands of Christ are. No one's going to deny that. I hope you're not walking out of here saying, well, Pastor said it's easy to obey the Lord. No, it's not always easy. I get that. Because we still, as I said, we still butt up and battle against this flesh, right? Every day of our lives, it's not always easy. But listen to what Barclay says. Difficult the commands of Christ are, burdensome they are not. For Christ never laid a commandment on a man without giving him, check this out, the strength to carry it. And every commandment that is laid upon us provides us another chance to show our love. Man, I love that. Every commandment that is laid upon us is another opportunity for you and I, is what he's saying, to show our love to God Almighty. Isn't that great? I think it is. It's awesome. In Galatians 5:1, Paul says this, for freedom, listen, Christ has set us free. You say, what's He set us free from? From sin. He has given us freedom to obey Him and to love Him. And so what does Paul say? Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to that yoke of slavery. Man, I love that. So folks, let's remember then what it means to be an overcomer. Let's recall what we're talking about. An overcomer has genuine faith, right? An overcomer loves God and he loves his children. An overcomer obeys the commands of the Lord. And they're not burdensome. But it's an opportunity, as Barclay says, to show our love. Let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for your word this morning. Thank you again, God, that your word tells us exactly how to live. Your word, it makes us to know for sure that we have genuine faith. And Lord, we thank you that your commands are not burdensome. We thank you that you tell us that they are light and your yoke is gentle. And so, God, I pray that as we go forth from this place this morning, that we might remember that we might serve you and obey you out of our love for you. That we will love our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we will live in grace, and that we will faithfully follow you, not following the rules and the regulations that man tries to place upon us, saying that if you just do these things, you'll be more holy. No, Lord, rather that we would have the joy of the Lord in knowing that we want to please you, to glorify you, because we love you just that much. And so we obey you at all cost. Make that be the beat of our spiritual hearts. For your glory alone, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.